HJR 192 provided that the one with the gold paid the bills. It removed the requirement that the United States subjects and employees had to pay their debts with gold. It actually prohibited the inclusion of a clause in all subsequent contracts that would require payment in gold. It also canceled the clause in every contract written prior to June 5, 1933, that required an obligation to be paid in gold, retroactively. It provided that the United States subjects and employees could use any type of coin and currency to discharge a public debt as long as it was in use in the normal course of business in the United States. For a time, United States notes were the currency used to discharge debts, but later the Federal Reserve and the United States provided a new medium of exchange through paper notes and debt instruments that could be passed on to a debtor's creditors to discharge the debtor's debts. That same currency, Federal Reserve notes, is used to discharge public debts. Take note, the Federal Reserve notes have no value, as stated by the Federal Reserve. Introducing the Uniform Commercial Code, UCC. In the 1950s, the Uniform Commercial Code was presented to their states as a means of unifying the generally accepted procedures for handling the new legal system of dealing with commercial transactions and fictions as though they were real. Security instruments, commercial paper, replaced substance as collateral for debts. Security instruments could be supported by presumptive contracts. Debt instruments with collateral and accommodating parties could be used instead of money. Money, of exchange, and the need for money was disappearing, and new money was being created, i.e., money of account, created by bill of exchange, and a uniform system of laws had to be put in place to allow the commercial venue and the courts to uphold the security instruments that depended on commercial fictions as a basis for compelling payment or performance, see tender of payment in your state statute. All this was accomplished by the mid-1960s. And by 1964, most all the states had adopted the Uniform Commercial Code. The Commercial Code is merely a codification of accepted and required procedures all people engaged in commercial activities must follow. The basic principles of commerce had been settled thousands of years ago, but were refined and became more sophisticated over the years. In the 1900s, the age-old principles of commerce shifted from substance to form. Presumption became a big part of the law. Without giving a degree of force to presumption, the new direction in enforcing commercial claims could not be supported in their courts. If the claimants were required to produce their claims every time they tried to collect money or time from the people, they would seldom be successful. The principles expressed in the code combined the means of dealing with substantive commercial activities with the means of dealing with presumptive commercial activities. These principles work as well for the people as they do for the deceivers. The rules do not respect persons. Those who enticed the people to register, surrender, their property, land, cars, guns, children, etc., to the subdivisions, states, under dictate by the United States, gained control of the substance through the registrations, and the states were able to extract more use taxes from the people to use the property of the state. The states and the United States became the holder of the titles to all the property, even children and many other things. Defining property and profits. The definition of property is the interest one has in a thing. The thing is the principal. The property is the interest in the thing. Profits, interest, made from the property of another belong to the owner of the thing. Profits were made by the deceivers by pledging the registered property in commercial markets, but the profits do not belong to the deceivers. The profits belong to the owners of the things. That is always the people. The corporation only shows ownership of paper, titles to things. The substance cannot appear in the fiction. Watch the movie Last Action Hero and watch the confusion created when they try to mix substance and fiction. Sometimes the fiction is made to look very much like substance, but fiction can never become substance. It is an impossibility. The profits from all the registered things had to be put into a constructive trust for the benefit of the owners. If the profits were put into the general fund of the United States and not into separate trusts for the owners, the scheme would represent fraud. The profits for each owner could not be commingled. If the owner failed to use his available remedy, fictional credits held in a constructive trust account, fund, or financial ledger, to benefit from the profits, it would not be the fault of the deceivers. If the owner failed to learn the law that would open the door to his remedy, it would not be the fault of the deceivers. The owner is responsible for learning the law, so he understands that the profits from his things are available for him to discharge debts or charges brought against his public person, debtor straw man, by the United States. The debt of the United States. If the United States has the gold, the United States pays the bills, from the trust account, fund, or financial ledger. The definition of fund is money set aside to pay a debt. The fund is there to discharge the public debts attributed to the United States subjects, but ultimately back to the accommodating parties, the American people. The national debt is what is owed to the owners of the registered things, the American people, as well as to other creditors. If the United States owes a debt to the owner of the thing, and the owner is presumed, by accommodation, to owe a public debt to the United States, the logical thing is to ask the United States to discharge that public debt from the trust fund. The way for the United States to get around having to pay the public debts for the people is to claim the owner cannot be an owner if he agreed to be the accommodating party for a debtor person. If the people are truly the principal, then they know how to handle their financial and political affairs, unless they have never been taught. If the owner admits by his actions out of ignorance that he is an accommodating party, he has taken on the debtor's liabilities without getting consideration in exchange. Here lies the fiction again. The owner of the thing does not have to knowingly agree to be the accommodating party for the debtor person, he just has to act like he agreed. That is easy if he has a choice of going to jail or signing for the debtor person. The presumption that he is the accommodating party is strong enough for the courts to hold the owner of the thing liable for a tax on the thing he actually owns or owes. Debtors may have the use of certain things, but the things belong to the creditors. The creditor is the master. The debtor is the servant. The Uniform Commercial Code is very specific about the duties and responsibilities a debtor has. If the owner of the thing is presumed to be a debtor because of his previous admissions and adhesion contracts, he is going to have a difficult time convincing the United States that it has a duty to discharge public debts for him. In addition, the courts are staffed with loyal judges who will look for every mistake the people make when trying to use their remedy. Putting it all together. Now the quasi-owner, user, of the property, thing, after learning the law and discovering who he is in relation to the United States Corporation, can file a UCC financing statement based upon a security agreement, registering his security interest in the artificial entity debtor/person, being the ENS legis, which the United States created after your mom signed the root of title/newborn identification and then was compelled to apply for a birth certificate. That was the act of registering her biological property, her baby, substance, with the state of __. The United States holds the paper title, form, not the substance, baby. Until your financing statement is filed, the United States is the holder of the title to the artificial entity. Its name is spelled in all capital letter, John Henry DOE. When John Henry Doe files the financing statement supported by a security agreement signed by the artificial entity, John, and the owner, John, he becomes the holder in due course of the title to John. The UCC and the state commercial law are very specific about the effect of a registered security interest. It is priority over most other interest claimed, only claimed, in the same thing. The evidence that is missing in the court is the registered claim over the person, John. The owner also must notify the Secretary of the Treasury that he is going to handle his own affairs in the future. That is done when you do the chargeback process by filing a bill of exchange with the Secretary through which he charges up the UCC contract trust account, in respect to the value expressed on the birth certificate and the directive cover letter. The Social Security number, belonging to your debtor, is the trust account number for a chargeback, for all the presumed charges brought against your debtor for proper discharge.